You are tuning into the True North Church podcast. Our prayer is that you would be inspired and encouraged by today's message. For more information about True North Church, please visit us online at truenorthak.org.
Excited. Thank you so much for being here today. My name's Matt, and if you don't know me yet, it's probably because either you're new to True North or I haven't been here in almost 9 months. Come on, that's a long time. I've been over at College Road. Again, most of you know we have a College Road location, and I have the privilege to be here with you today. Super excited. And in fact, as we're talking about moms and we're kind of kicking things off here, you know, I wanted to give you a few mom sayings. I wanted to give you some mom facts, maybe some things, kids in the room, that you can say to your moms if you haven't already, because as we know, there ain't no hood like motherhood. So we're going to talk about a couple things here, and you can say something like, Happy Mother's Day to someone who carried me for 9 months physically and 29 years financially. Maybe some of you are still going in that direction. All right, so, hey, you were right, Mom. There, I said it. Happy Mother's Day. Wouldn't that just be a good gift? How many moms in the room you'd like for your kids to just say, you were right, right? Hey, moms, they're just like dads, only smarter. Hey, thanks for the genes that provided these crazy good looks, Mom. You're all right. Hey, you're a great mom. I mean, come on, look at me, right? Hey, here's a mother. They're a person with the ability to detect a lie, hear the smallest noises, and see out of the back of their heads. How many know moms can see out of the back of their heads, right? And my mother's menu consisted of two choices. Maybe your mom's did as well. It's leave it or take it. How many had moms like that, right? You can leave it or take it, right? And then, Mom, I love you, and I love how we don't even have to say out loud that I'm your favorite child, right? And then life doesn't come with a manual. It comes with a mom, right? So we're thankful for our moms. I also want to say hello to our online audience. Thanks for joining us today here at True North Church, and happy Mother's Day to the moms listening online. For those, again, who are here with us, super excited to be here with you today. If you're just new to us, or maybe it's your first week in our series, we've been in a series, and the series is called Thinking for a Change. But as I was thinking about this, and I'm thinking about one of my favorite things as a kid is I love to scare my mom. I know it's kind of weird and sadistic, but how many else, you're like that? It was so fun to hide around the corner, and then my mom would go, you're going to give me a heart attack one day. Thankfully, I never did that. But my mom, I love to scare her and just, you know, do different things. So I continue to do that with my wife now of almost 30 years. It's just something in me. I don't know why. I just like to scare people. It's fun, right? It's fun to see them like drop something or just go back or whatever. But what's funny is I didn't even have to try hard, and I still don't. And I passed that down to my kids, by the way. So you're welcome, dear. She's not in here. But here's the thing is, you know, I would hide in the same place, or maybe do these same exact things, like maybe four or five different things, over and over and over, and I wouldn't even have to try, and I would scare her every single time. And here's what I think. As we get into the message today, as we start thinking about thinking for a change, you know, the enemy uses the same tactics over and over and over and over again. And you know what? We fall for those same tactics until we understand that when we begin to think the way that Jesus thinks, when we begin to have the mind of Christ, then we can see things differently, and then we become to know who we are in Jesus Christ. So we're going to talk about that today, and talk about having a changed mindset and how that will change the outcomes in our lives. So here's the premise of it. If you want to change your life, if you want to change some outcomes that are happening in your life, if you want to change in some relational situations, you don't start with your behavior. You start with your thinking. And so as we're talking about this today, in fact, last week, if you were here, we talked about having the mind of Christ. Now, that's great to say, but it's another thing to kind of understand what that means and really live it out in your life. So that's really what the message is today, is that one point of having the mind of Christ. What does that practically look like as we look at this today? Having the mind of Jesus, that's when you know who you are. So how can we do this? Well, your brain is like a computer, right? And some of our processors are slower than others, right? There you go. You're the ones processing slow. There you go. No, I'm just kidding. But our brains are like a computer. What you take in is what comes out, right? And if you want your body, for example, your physical body, to function at a high level, the best way is probably not to fill it with junk food, right? I mean, I know that we might do that from time to time, but if we want our bodies to really function well, we don't fill it with a bunch of junk, right? And so it's the same thing with our minds. If we want our minds to change, which means our lives can change, we start with our mind, we start with our thinking, then we got to get some of the old junk out of our lives. We got to get the junk food out of the freezer. We got to get the junk food out of the cabinets. The same thing is true with our minds. We got to get it out of our lives. And how do we do that? How do we get some of these old mindsets out of our lives? How do we get some of those old lies in our heads, the old way of thinking? Things like, you know, I'm never going to be able to change my situation. I'm never going to be able to control my anger. I'm never going to get over this lust issue that I have that I fall back into over and over and over again. I'm never going to have a healthy relationship. I'm always going to have to worry. See, these are mindsets, some old ways the enemy kind of throws into our lives. And so we want to look at that today, and we want to clean out that junk from our heads and kind of reprogram some things. And how many of you want to wake up to God's best for your life? How many want that in your life? Amen? In fact, look at your neighbor and say, wake up. Actually, elbow them because some of them are falling asleep. I saw you. So tell them, wake up. We want to wake up to God's best for our life. And how do we do that? We're going to look at that today, and we're making some changes that lead to some different outcomes in our life, and it starts with our thinking. If you have your Bibles or you have the YouVersion Bible app, you got your worship guide as you came in, you can follow along as well, and it'll be up on the screen here for you. But here's where we're going to start in Romans chapter 13. And this is the Apostle Paul, and he starts out this way. He says, "And do this, understanding the hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber." Now that phrase, "the hour has come," there's a Greek word for it. It's kairos. It means it's a moment. It's not actually like a second or a minute or a denomination of time. It actually means more about an opportunity. He's saying, wake up from your slumber because the hour has already come. Here's what I believe today. There's some of you here today that you have been in this cycle, in a situation over and over and over, whether it's relationally or whether it has to do with sin or whether it has to do with anxiety or worry or addictions or whatever it is. You've been in this cycle, and God is saying to you today, wake up, that there's a new way of thinking. There's something that I can do in your life that'll change the way you think, which will in turn change your outcome in life. You ever heard this phrase? Well, if you want to seize the opportunity of a lifetime, you got to seize it in the lifetime of the opportunity. In other words, there are moments in our life that if we don't act on them, we miss out on those moments. I believe this for some of you today. There's a moment that God can change your life today. He goes on, he says, because our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day's almost here. Let us put aside the deeds of darkness. Put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, sexual immorality, debauchery, dissension, and jealousy, but rather clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, with his mindset, with his thinking, and don't even think how to gratify the desires of the flesh. Paul goes on in Ephesians and he says this. He says, be made new in the attitude of your minds. Did you know that your mind produces an attitude? I learned this probably for the first time in fifth grade. Miss Calderon, any teachers in the house? You didn't want me in your class at that age. I mean, I was okay, but I sometimes had an attitude, I think. But Miss Calderon told me to do something. And this was a long time ago. I remember this, though. But she told me to do something, and I thought something in my head. But you know how sometimes it shows up on your face as to what you're thinking in your head? Apparently, it showed up, my attitude in my mind showed up in my face, and the teacher says, you better take that look off your face before I slap it off. That's what my teacher said. That was old school teaching. Come on, somebody, right? That's what they did. My mama, this is the only time she came up to the school and got on to that teacher. She said, only one slaps my son's face is me, okay? That's the only one, right? But there's an attitude of our minds that kind of can show up in our lives. And so when we think about this, if we want something new, something to change in our life, we don't start with changing our behavior. We change with the way that we think about things. If we want some strongholds to break off in our life, some chains to come off in our lives, we start with the way that we think. And one of the most powerful verses in Scripture, I believe, in regards to changing our lives It's found here in Romans chapter 12. And it's the Apostle Paul. He's talking here. And he says this. You probably have heard this verse before. He says, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, his pleasing, and his perfect will." Now, I want us to, in order to get the most out of this verse, I think we need to be on the same page about a couple definitions. And one of those words is conform. Now, you kind of know what that is. Think of Jell-O, right? If you make Jell-O, what do? We put that into a container, and what does the Jell-O do? It conforms to whatever the container that you put it in. So it fits into a mold, that word conform, or another way to define it is it blends in with its surroundings, the opinions of others, right? And then transform says this, to change the nature, the character, and the personality of something or someone. So conforming is changing the external appearances, right? It's more about behavior that we can see. Transforming is about the changing of the internal nature, the inside, having to do something with the character and changing from the inside out. And an example of this would be from my own personal life is I grew up in the deep racist South in Texas. And I grew up in a somewhat racist home, I would say, with racist friends. And living my life, there came a point I become a Christian, and it was the year after I graduated high school. I remember I was working at a department store, and I was having a conversation with this young lady. It's a black young lady, and I was disagreeing with her on something that I thought was biblical. And what I realized is that I had conformed to a way of thinking from where I was at for such a long time. And then all of a sudden, had become a Christian long enough that his word washed into my mind and began to change some old ways of thinking, some ways of thinking that I should have known were wrong, but I didn't realize it until God's word got into me enough to change my way of thinking. So when you're talking about changing outcomes, we got to start with thinking. Lasting change doesn't come with changed behavior. It comes with changed thinking, which will in turn change our behavior. So a couple more definitions I need to give you. In fact, if you're here last week, the last couple of weeks, we mentioned this word. And these are two words. They're kind of churchy terms, but you've probably heard of them before. But the Greek word for repent, that's one of the terms, it's metanoia. Pastor Mark, and if you heard Pastor Rob another week, perhaps even Pastor Dan had shared that this word, it means literally to change the way that you think, to change how you're thinking, to not change your behavior, to change the way you think. So on Friday, I was on the phone with our oldest son, and he lives in Southeast Alaska. He's a fisherman. He was in just for a short time, so we're video chatting, and I was talking with him. Well, his 3 and 1-year-old are running around, my grandkids, and Micah, he's running around, and he shoves his 1-year-old brother, Emmett, down to the ground. And of course, you hear crying, and you can't even hear my son anymore, and I can hear Mom going, "Micah, we don't do that." And then I'm listening kind of like what else is happening. She begins to explain to him why we don't do that. How many as parents, as moms and as dads, we don't want just our kids to not do a certain behavior. We want them to understand why they don't behave certain ways, why they do behave certain ways. So when we're talking about this, the word repent means not just like, oh, I'm repenting of sins, but it means to literally change the way that we think about certain things in life. And confess is another word, another churchy term. Homologio is the Greek word for it, but it means this literally. Say the same thing. Saying what God says, agreeing with him, no arguments. Like today, for moms, okay, kids, husbands in the room, today is Mother's Day. Whatever she says goes, no arguments. What mom says goes, and all the moms said, amen. All right. So, but confess means to say the same thing. It means, have you ever looked in a mirror and you started talking to yourself in the mirror? How many would be honest and say that? You guys are weird. No, I'm just kidding. No, what do? We sometimes talk ourselves into things, right? Like, you can do this. Come on, you. I'm looking at the online audience right now, but I can't see you. But you can do this, right? I'm going to start with the man in the mirror. Oh, that's terrible. Michael Jackson, come on. But But here's the thing is we begin to confess some things in our lives that we need to hear said out loud. So we're going to talk about confessing and what it literally means. We understand confess doesn't mean just confessing your sins. It means way more than that. And I don't want to minimize how important it is for us to confess sins to God. Because 1 John 1:9, what does it tell us? It says, if we confess our sins, he's what? He's faithful and he's just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But do you know if you stop right there, you're missing another whole huge part of what confession is when we're talking about our faith? See, it's way more than that. It goes beyond that. That's not enough. I mean, think about how often you've confessed the same sin over and over and over. See, so confession can give forgiveness, but it doesn't necessarily bring the lasting change that God wants to bring to our life. So we're going to talk about that other kind of confession, and that is that confessing our faith and how powerful that is. So here's how we're going to do this. We're like, okay, Matt, when are we getting to the message? This is the message. We're going to come. If you got your notes there, we're going to fill in. In fact, write this down. The first way that we can have a renewed mind or the mind of Christ is this. Number one, when I say what God says, I begin to think the way that God thinks. When I say what God says about relationships, I begin to think the way God thinks about relationships. Are you having relational problems? Say what God says about relationships. Are you having problems in your marriage? Say what God says about marriage, how we are supposed to honor, how we're supposed to live in that. When I say what God says about money, I begin to think the way God thinks about money. Are you having money issues? Is it hard for you to think about putting God first? You know, when we begin to see the way God sees and we say it the way God says it, we begin to think the way that he thinks. Are you having trouble with yourself? Are you having trouble with, you know, forgiving yourself, having challenges? When I begin to say what God says about me, then I begin to think the way that God thinks about me. So when we're talking about this today, he says again, a reminder of that verse, be made new in the attitude of your minds. Let me give you context to that. This is Apostle Paul again, and Paul he gave a list of things that they needed to be mindful of, to guard their hearts against. He lists off things like greed and lust and selfishness or deceitfulness, right? And then he ends that with be made new. And so that phrase, be made new, it's a long Greek word I'm not even going to try to pronounce, but it literally means renovate. It means to renovate. So Paul's saying, is there going to be any change in your life? Is there going to be any renewal? There has to be a renovation of your mind. Anybody ever renovated something, your house or room in your house? Anybody ever done that? When you do that, it's not like a 1 hour or one day thing most of the time, right? It's a process, right? I remember when our son was born, our middle son, he's 24 now. He's born, and I got to have 2 weeks off for vacation with my family. You know, I got to have 2 weeks off, and I like never had that much time together. I got really bored. I'm like, what if I ripped down this wall? What would it look like? And so I started thinking of things, and my wife's like, you don't know how to do that stuff. I'm like, oh, it's not that hard, right? So, and we needed a closet downstairs, and we had a half bath, but I'm like, there's got to be some room on this other side. There's some wasted space. So I started thinking through, okay, how can I renovate this downstairs and change what it looks like? So renovation, as you know, though, it's inconvenient. It can be messy, right? It can be costly. It can be frustrating. It can cause fights. Renovating, though, it's a process. But in the end, hopefully, it should be worth it. There's a reason. There's a purpose behind doing this renovating. When you renovate something, you know, usually the first step is demolition. I am good. I found out a good demolition. How many else are like that? You're good at demolition. Demo, I can do. Reno, need to hire someone for that, right? But I did. I did an okay job, I think, on that little downstairs closet. I just told my wife, I was like, if I just cut a hole in the wall here, I'll stick my head in and see if there's room. Good news, there was room, and so we made it into a closet. But here's the thing. In fact, this is the second thing. I want you to write this down. Understand that renovation begins with demolition. So when we look at this, you may know this or may not know this. This is a fact I learned. You know, each of us, we have about 60 to 80,000 thoughts per day. That's a lot of thoughts, isn't it? Actually, guys are more like 5,000, but ladies, you bring the average way up for us, right? One day, we're sitting there, my wife and I, we're doing nothing and just kind of relaxing. And she's like, what are you thinking about? I'm like, nothing. She's like, no, really, what are you thinking about? Really, I am thinking about nothing. Apparently, I didn't know that it's hard for ladies to just think about nothing, literally, but I can. I can do that sometimes. This literally was thinking about nothing, right? But we have those. So that's about 3,000 an hour. Lots of thinking going on. These thoughts, they form patterns. They form pathways. And they begin to, they shape conclusions in our life that's built from those thoughts, right? And some of those are how we see ourselves, how we see others, how we see the world, how we see God, right? Well, Paul is saying some of these patterns, some of these pathways that you've had going on in these thoughts, some of them don't line up with God's word. Some of them are not helping you in your life. Some of them are messing up relationships. Some of them are keeping you tied to an addiction. Some of them are keeping you in a depressive state where you can't get out. Some of them are holding you back from what God's best is for your life. And so we look at these patterns, these pathways. Some of them need to be demolished and rebuilt and renovated with God's truth. So we're going to look at that. And I heard this on the other day. I don't know if you ever heard how baby elephants are trained. Anybody ever heard that, learned that before? I heard this on the internet the other day, so I know it's true. But here's what they do. Here's what they do is they take the baby elephant, they put a chain around its ankle, and then they connect that to a stake that's in the ground. And so they're tied to that stake for their early life, right? And as it gets a little bit older, they begin to take this elephant and they walk it around the different places or whatever. And they can literally leave it over somewhere and they can walk away. And as long as that elephant feels the chain around its ankle, even though it's not tied to anything, it will not move. It'll stay right there where it's at. Because it thinks it can't go anywhere. It doesn't realize that it's really already free. It's unaware of its condition. So this majestic animal, this animal that is so beautiful as it gets larger and larger, is powerful, it can literally uproot trees. It the rest of its life, it's going nowhere. Yet it's chained to absolutely nothing. It's living a lie about itself with a condition that's not true of their life. They've believed a lie. And so, you know, as we look at this today, you know, maybe some of you, you're just like that elephant. Maybe you know someone that's just like that elephant that, I'm not saying you're the size of an elephant, let's make that clear right here, but you're chained maybe to some lies, some that you're going nowhere in life. What's the point? Why do I need to even change anything or change my thinking in life? Because life is meaningless anyways. And you're chained to some lies, not realizing you can be free. And the only power those chains have on your life is the power that you give them. They don't have any other power. And so it brings me to a question. What are my chains? What are your chains? What are some chains that I'm dragging around in my life that's based on a lie? Maybe it has to do with regret or worry. Maybe it has to do with bitterness or lust or condemnation. Or maybe it's those I'm not good enough statements. You know, those statements where, you know, I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not pretty enough. I can't do that. I'm not a good enough mom. I'm not a good enough dad. You know what God says about those not good enough statements? Enough. I don't want you to think that way. That is the path to being tied to something that God hasn't said about us in our lives that leads to shame. And God is not the author of shame. Jesus said, when you know the truth, it will what? Set you free. But you got to know the truth. And how do we know the truth? It's through his word. I love this, what the psalmist said in Psalms 107. He says, some sat in darkness and deepest gloom, imprisoned in iron chains of misery, crying out, Lord, help, they cried in their trouble. Then he saved them from their distress. Look at all these verbs. I love it. He saved them. He led them from the darkness. He snapped their chains. He broke down the prison gates, and he cut apart the bars of iron. I love what God does in our lives. See, God never intended for us to be chained to our pain. He never intended us to be shackled to our sin. And some of us, we don't realize that we're not necessarily even tied to anything, but we feel the chains around our ankle. And it's been a stronghold in our life year after year and maybe relationship after relationship. And God says today, I want to break those chains off your life. I want to break down generational chains in your life. I want to help you come into all that I have for your life. But it's not going to happen just because you change your behavior. It has to happen by helping you to change the way that you think. And so today, as we look at this, he goes on and he says this in Romans 8:1. This is the Apostle Paul again. I love this. There's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We don't have to worry about, well, what if I fail? What if I mess up again? That's the good news. There's no condemnation for you. Renovation is a process. God knows you're going to probably mess up. God knows that, you know, you're going to still get some of that junk food in your mind, right? I still go down the ice cream aisle sometimes, and it calls out to me, and I answer it sometimes. And after I've devoured that pint of ice cream, then or gallon, whichever, you know, then I say no to it for a little while. But listen, we get to those old ways sometimes, but that doesn't mean we're defeated. God continues that renovation process in our minds. I love what it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, and the new life has come. It's a picture of what baptism is. If you've been baptized before, you go under the water, and that's goodbye to the old life, and you come up, and it says yes to the new life that God has for you. By the way, if you've never been water baptized, I'm so excited about this. June 4th, we're going to have baptisms at our groundbreaking ceremony over at College Row. Come on, somebody. Super excited about that. But seriously, if you haven't been baptized, we'd love to have you be a part of that. But that's what it is a picture of. When God renovates your mind, he demolishes our old way of thinking. And the way he begins to do this is by his word. There's power in his word. In fact, Hebrews 4:12 says, the word of God is living and active. In fact, another version says it's powerful. Living, active, sharper than a double-edged sword, penetrates the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and it judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. You know that double edge? This is how I view it. The double edge, it's powerful because one, it's powerful to knock down and destroy strongholds, but then it's sharp and precise enough, like a surgeon's scalpel to cut out the smallest little thing that doesn't line up with God's word, that doesn't line up with the thinking that we need to have. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It uncovers lies, and it gets to the root of wrong thinking in our lives, which helps us to see the way that God wants us to see. So if we want our lives to be different, if we want a situation to change in our life, we don't start with the behavior, we start with the way we think. So we begin to think for a change. So we're not talking about the power of positive thinking. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the power of biblical thinking, what God's word says. Taking God at his word, saying what it says about it, letting his word change our lives. And it's not about good intentions. God, I'll never do this again. You ever said that before? How'd that work for you? See, it's not about good intentions. And it's not about you making promises you can't keep. God's not interested in your promises. Life change starts with God, not you. It starts with God. In fact, write this down. This is the third truth. God isn't asking me to make a promise I cannot keep. He's asking me to receive a promise only he can keep. There's power in that for us to know and understand that. When we confess the promises of God, then we can receive them. We confess them, right? Yes, we confess our sins. But we also confess our faith. We say, God, I need you in my life. God, I know that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And we confess those things. In fact, when you came in, hopefully you received one of these. And it says, my faith confessions. Now, this isn't an exhaustive list, but take a look at it real quick. There's way more than this, but these are just a few promises. And it says things like, when you're feeling like you can't do anything right, Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. You put these on your fridge, put these on your mirror, put these in a place, and maybe you add some. In fact, I added one to mine. You ever deal with anxiety? You ever deal with worry? You know what God's word and my faith confession says to that? It says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Guess what happens when we express that? Then the peace of God that surpasses all of our understanding will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. See, when we confess our faith, not just our sins, that's important, but we confess our faith in areas of our life, God does an incredible work in us so that he can do an incredible work through us. I want to encourage you to make use of that, to maybe add some of yourself, to write on your mirror. For a long time, when our kids were growing up, they put stickies on the mirror. We put stickies around the house that had different verses that we wanted to have into our thinking and our way of life so that it helped shape the way that we acted. So when we say what God says, we can think like God thinks. And, you know, renovating our minds, it starts with demolishing some things, some strongholds that we believed in our life, some generational curses. Then we confess our faith, we can receive the promises that God has for our life. It doesn't start with you, it starts with God and his promise. You know, in 2006, I was still living in Texas, and I had the privilege to lead a group of about 40 of us to go and do some Hurricane Katrina relief and cleanup there in New Orleans, Louisiana. And they'll have some pictures on the screen there for you here in just a second. But we went there, and one of the things that we got to do is we got to go, and we broke up into teams of about 10, and we went to 4 different houses, and they just got a house assigned to us. People are literally just waiting for someone to come and begin the process of demolishing their house or a lot of it. And so we would go there, and I mean, 9 months later, we went during the spring break the following year, it still looked like a giant mess. Nothing seemed like it had been done yet. But it wasn't the wind that caused all the damage. It was the flooding. The flooding was way worse, and it literally would go over the top of houses. It would fill that house up. Imagine this room here being filled with water and everything in it, or your own house. Wherever it settled, that's where it stayed. And 9 months later, by the way, it gets really warm in New Orleans, Louisiana. It's just been sitting there. Eventually, the water goes out, but there's still a lot of gross. And we walked into these rooms and the house, and it was literally just overpowering with mold. And in the house, you just did not know where to start. On the outside, before we walked in, some of these houses actually looked decent. They like, hey, there's not much wrong with this. And then you walk in, it's like, oh, that's the problem. I thought it looked okay on the outside, but the inside, there was a big problem. So we started getting everything out. We started removing every item we could. And then they said, take it down to the studs. Remove everything else, sheetrock and anything, cabinets or whatever. We just got it all out of there. And they were eventually going to spray all that for the mold and then just rebuild it from there. In fact, we had a Russian foreign exchange student. He was with us. He didn't speak much English, but we would tell him what to do, and he'd go, destroy. His name was Victor. Destroy? Yes, destroy, Victor. It's good. And we just demolished everything that was in there. Maybe here today, and what that picture looked like, maybe that's a picture of your life. You don't even know where to start. It is such a mess. It's so overwhelming, you're not really sure where to start. Can I tell you today, the good news is, as messy as your life is, God has messed with worse. And he says, come to me, and the place you start is a faith confession in him. In fact, at True North Church, we say it like this, it's as easy as ABC, admit, believe, and confess. Maybe today you'd say, God, I admit my life is a mess. It's terrible. I need you to come in and change my way of thinking. Don't ask God to change your behavior or your situation before he begins to wash his word over your life. Maybe you're here today, there's been a perpetual struggle with maybe it's worry, maybe it's lust, maybe it's another challenge in your life, and you want to be free from that. I believe today is a Kairos moment for you. That you can do that. And God's gonna renovate some things in your life, but he's gotta remove some old lies and some thoughts there. If you're here today and you've never placed faith in Jesus Christ, I wanna pray with you. I wanna give you an opportunity to pray a prayer of salvation, to make Jesus your life leader. In fact, if you just bow your heads, I'm gonna pray a prayer out loud, and you can pray it silently right there. Just say, dear God, I thank you for coming into my life. Today I admit my life is a mess. Today I admit that just like that house I just saw, I don't even know where to start, but God, I'm starting with you. Would you come into my life? I believe you sent your son Jesus to die on a cross for me. And today I confess you as Lord and Savior. Help me to live for you, God. Help me to honor you with my life. Help me to trust you with my life. Today I confess you as Lord and Savior, life leader, in Jesus' mighty name, amen.
What a fantastic service. Be sure to stay in touch by following us on social media so you can stay up to date with all that is happening at True North Church.